As an advisor, I'm always curious about what is the path that most people don't choose. It may be the most difficult and challenging, but it will get me to my goal faster than everybody else. So we are launching Elite Plus. This is the community for advisors that really want to engage. You get to hang out with me a couple times a month live, asking questions, trying to grow our practice together. You'll get for free our financial planning software that'll help you deliver a better financial planning experience to your clients. You'll have access to Q&A cohorts with other advisors, and you'll have our full library of resources. This is for you if you are ready to go all in. If you want to be challenged to grow, you need to come hang out in Elite Plus. Join the Elite Plus membership today. Visit gobeelite.com and experience the program that transforms advisors into leaders.
Welcome to this episode. Today I'm going to be hanging out with Roger Pine, one of the co-founders of Holistiplan. This is such a great tool. It's taken us time to integrate it into our practice, and now it is a staple for us and our clients, especially in our financial planning clients. So let's jump in with Roger. I want to talk about his career leading up to launching a software company, the resistance he faced, how he overcame it, and then really practically, how can we use Holistiplan and really other softwares to make us more efficient as advisors? You may only be able to serve, say, 100 clients right now efficiently. What if we can use software and make that 200 and 300, and you still have a practice that you enjoy working in? So let's talk about software. Let's hang out with Roger. Roger, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Looking forward to the conversation.
I'm excited. We use your tool here at Legacy, I'll share how we use it and how we've implemented. But before we get to everything you're doing today, which is great, some backstory on what got you into the business and, you know, kind of where you are today.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I'm not originally a financial advisor. In my 20s, I had a totally different job. I worked in energy, lived all over the world in that. I became a financial advisor in my 30s. I joined in 2008, which was an eventful year to join the profession. And I did that for 10 years. I worked with a lot of clients. I worked in a very planning-centric firm. Financial planning is what really drew me to the industry more than, say, investments or anything like that. But then I had a midlife crisis at 40. I turned 40 and I was like, I don't know. I as much as I am inspired by what financial planners do for clients, and I find the work rewarding, it wasn't my calling in life. And so I took a couple of years in the wilderness, and then eventually with another co-founder, another financial advisor, we started Holistiplan, which is primarily a tax planning software platform that almost 10,000 different financial planning firms are using now.
Love it, man. Did you get into the business because you saw that people were left wanting, like, hey, I've met an advisor that's great, I'm going to go do it better? Or what was kind of the triggering event to go from, you know, a different world of work to financial advising?
Well, yeah, actually, so, you know, I think a lot of people, it's different now because people can study financial planning as part of like a university course. But, you know, in this era, most of us were career switchers, and I was too. I was lucky because my wife was actually going through the CFP curriculum herself. She came over from investment banking and a hedge fund background, and she wanted to change of plans, change of pace. And so while she was studying for the CFP, I was like grabbing the books as she was studying, and I was like, hey, that looks interesting. And so I eventually reached a point where I was going through the curriculum so fast that I was like begging her to go faster so she could get new books in, you know? I had the luxury of not having to do any of the homework and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's how we did it. As I kind of fell in love with it because she was going through that process.
Nice, man. That's great. Did she stay in the business, or obviously it's cool that you guys kind of share the love for the space?
She is. Yeah. So we work together in that firm. And in fact, she now runs that firm where I was.
Nice.
Took them a while. Took them about a couple of years before they actually became Holistiplan customers. My own wife took a couple of years to warm up to the idea, but now they're customers. And so I'm grateful to have them on the platform.
I think she would have like the ultimate discount code.
I wanted it to be fair. So she's got to pay full price.
Good.
And so that's what she does. She didn't get a discount code. It's true.
Love it. All right. So that got you into the business. And then 10 years, I'm curious, as you reflect now of kind of stepping out of that specific role in the industry, what do you wish you would have known sooner, done differently? How do you reflect on those 10 years?
I now have the best job I've ever had. I mean, I love what I do now. And so could I have maybe taken that leap earlier? I don't know. Probably not. I think, you know, the choices we make in life and the experiences that we gather, you never know how they're going to pay off later. And so being able to work in that role for as long as I did allowed me to have a lot of different types of client conversations, to see a lot of different, understand a lot of different things about what a financial planner does for clients. And, you know, sometimes it takes that long to understand, like, this isn't for me, you know? And so during that time, by the way, I was, I'm a self-taught computer programmer. So during that time, while I was working that firm, I was learning to become a computer programmer. I was building software tools that we were using in the business. Nice. And so that time also helped me build the toolkit within my own self to then be able to start Holistic Plan down the road. So again, had I done anything different? I don't know. I don't know if the stars would have all aligned to bring me to where I am today. I just don't know.
Nice. So what was the, left the business, wasn't the calling, said kind of the wilderness for a couple years. What triggered Holistic Plan? What's the backstory of, like, hey, I think I have an idea and we should go all in?
Well, when I quit my job, I had nothing lined up. I knew I liked computer programming, and I knew I had a lot of good knowledge about financial planning. I didn't know if that's where it would take me. I spent a year trying to build a direct-to-consumer financial planning software package, and that went nowhere. I made zero money for an entire year, like zero. Like, my beta testers would not, they would quit before they even finished for free using that product. But I was really interested in the idea of, this is the problem that all financial advisors are trying to deal with, which is, like, how do we scale planning, right? We have a lot of great technology around scaling investments. I mean, a mutual fund is a technology for scaling investments. I can put everybody in that fund and they all get that same allocation and it scales very, very well. And then I have rebalancing tools. These are all really great scaling features that are available to us as advisors, and they've been around for 20 years. Planning is harder. Like, there's a lot of pieces of planning where I got to, like, get to know you very personally. And some of those things that you can scale out and put people into the same model portfolios for investments, the idea of a model portfolio for planning doesn't really fit as well. We have standards, we have processes, but it's kind of different. And so that sort of problem really made me, it was something I wanted to tackle. And I wanted to be able to, what I wrote down in my notebook at the very beginning was, like, I would love to be able to use what I know about financial planning and try to impact the lives of 1,000 people before I die, right? Because a typical financial advisor, I mean, in general, if you have a full book, 100 to 120 clients that you're delivering financial planning for.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, 10x that, 1,000 before I die. And so the only way you can do that is you have to think differently about how you deliver planning. And so that's why I was like, okay, can we do it through software? What tools can we build? A good friend of mine, Dr. Nathan Harness, who runs the Texas A&M Financial Planning Program, he and I have talked for years about the idea of normative practices where, say in medicine, I had the unfortunate experience of being in the emergency room just a few days ago myself. Mm. And, like, they have very specific questions they're asking you because they're trying to narrow down a certain set of information to get to a diagnosis. And the thing we asked ourselves is, like, can financial planning be like that? I'm not sure it can, actually, but that was certainly the idea behind trying to use software to solve some of these problems. But anyway, so that was kind of the idea. And then the financial advisor I worked with, Kevin Lozier, we co-founded Holistic Plan, and the idea was, okay, if we can start to lock down some of these decision frameworks, these heuristic ideas of, like, if these two things are true, then this is true, that I could, you know, if I'm in a low tax bracket, let's have a Roth conversion conversation. If I have a lot of charity, let's have a donor advised fund conversation. I mean, of course, a lot more inputs to that,
sure.
But trying to build out that type of heuristic model behind a financial planning framework, that's how you can allow advisors to be more efficient. And one thing led to another. Kevin had the great idea to, like, read documents. That's really how we got famous, was, like, this idea of, like, reading in a document and trying to extract information from it.
Yeah.
So then what you do is, like with any business, you listen to your customers. You know, like, honestly, all the best ideas that we came up with product-wise were our own customers saying, I would love for you to be able to do this. And we listened and we iterated, like any good business should do. And that's how we were able to meet clients, our customers, where they were pretty rapidly. And the software really landed very well.
Love it. I do think the timing has worked out well. I look back to when I tried to start doing financial planning as like this standalone vertical. You know, I started the insurance side where it's like the solution to every problem is insurance. I said, hey, I want to do something different. I want to go sell investments because that's the exciting part of the business. And so the solution to every problem was like buy more of my investments. Until I just started having more conversations with business owners, you know, entrepreneurs, real estate investors. And I was like, man, they need like 70% of the stuff I have. They just don't want to buy the product yet, or they may not need it right away. Yeah. But I have no profitable way of delivering value to them. And so when I was at some different firms back in the day, I'd say, I want to do a financial plan. They're like, oh, $500, $1,000. And I was like, I don't know if I'm making money at that point. Like I still have to quickly get to the product in order to be profitable. And that's probably making my process or deliverable not as powerful. And so I had to go through this whole journey of realizing like, hey, how much should I charge for financial planning? But there is somewhat of a ceiling to where it's like, maybe I need to shift to say, hey, what's a healthy fee? But if I can make myself so much more efficient, maybe that's where my profitability comes from. And that's where I think if you have good tools and software, it's like the client doesn't know if you took 50 hours to build their financial plan or 5.
Yep.
If the result is the same for them.
Right. Yeah, I think, you know, there's two pieces to it. One is you have to actually provide real value, right? And so I think just plugging numbers into a calculator, they can do that on their own, right? So we as a profession are having to elevate our own skills just because our customers are asking for more and we have more, you know, it's kind of like this, it's not an arms race, but it's this thing where like the as the expectations rise, the amount of value we have to provide to meet and then exceed expectations is going to rise. That's a good thing. That's good for consumers. It's good for the profession. So that's half of it. But then yes, you have to be scalable in delivering that value, right? And that's really hard to do. It's easy to be really scalable if you do a terrible job, right? If I just say, go use the calculator, that's super scalable. But then if I want to actually deliver value at the same time, then we have to start talking about, okay, what tools are in my toolbox? What sort of processes do I build around delivering this advice? How do I, you know, how do I make sure that I'm having the right people in my firm work on building these deliverables? And also, you know, part of scalability is not just efficiency, but also consistency of outputs, right? You know, if I have everybody in my firm moving super fast and they're super efficient, but then I gave the same fact pattern to 4 different people in my firm and they get 4 different answers.
Yeah.
Well, that's not good either. You're not providing the type of value our customers, our clients expect of us. And so like all these things, you're right. All these things are coming together at the same time. Our clients are expecting more. The industry, the business models are shifting. And then our ability to build tools like HolistiPlan, you know, frankly, 6 or 7 years ago, you go back 10 years, I mean, I don't know if you remember this, but like, it's not been that long since I was a financial advisor, but I would be at conferences and people would say, I will never put my CRM in the cloud. I'll never do that. Remember that? That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
But we, especially with COVID, we kind of accelerated this. We as a profession have shifted to the point where we're more comfortable with these cloud-based tools and the ability to build these cloud-based products like HolistiPlan has exploded. And so I think a lot of these things all came together at once. It's been a really fascinating time for me to watch and be a part of over the last 2 years. I'm very thankful to be able to monitor it from this side of the fence and to see so many advisors who are, many of our customers are people who are adding financial planning for the first time. And they're relying on tools that, like you said, like the client doesn't know. The client doesn't know if you spent 10 hours on this or 10 minutes on this, but if they're impressed and if you exceed their expectations, they don't really care. That's where the value comes from. That's what they're willing to pay for. It's great to see that happening.
Yeah, I do think there's an issue. I mean, there's a lot of tools now, and it's something we had to solve internally. We built a software for ourselves because it's one of those things where you see, hey, there's nothing out there that's doing this well, so let's try to do it. Was how quickly can we build something to put in front of the client? Because I think back in the day, I was printing like an e-money report and then typing an Excel document. And I think when people saw it, especially for some of the people that were paying me like large financial planning fees, I think the experience kind of fell off a cliff. When it's like my numbers were great, the projections were all true. Like it was, but by the time I put something in front of the client, I think I left them slightly confused. And a confused mind usually says no, or they're not in a place to make a confident decision. And so we had to step back and say, what is this consistent deliverable that's fed by all these really smart tools? But at the end of the day, when the client sees it, they're like, oh, this makes sense. Like simplicity is a gift. And that's something we've had to try to unlock.
Yeah, I think I think if you look back, you know, 15 years or so, a lot of the outputs of these systems, and you know, we have to be careful of this too within our design of Holistiplan, is sometimes we mistake. It's kind of like when you're writing a term paper back in high school, and it's like, well, if I just make it an extra page, it'll look that much better. Like they'll, you know, but you're right. Like there's a certain elegance in getting your message across in 2 pages when it could have been 15 pages, right? And so, but that's a little bit harder to do. And so I think we err on the side of just doing more and more and more. And all of us on the software side of things, we have to be very careful about, okay, how do we provide an elegant output? And then I'll tell you the next thing that we all have to figure out, and I'm as guilty of anyone of this, is like, how do all the different systems talk to each other in a way where you have consistency of presentation? Because I, you know, Holistiplan, we have a viewpoint on what a beautiful deliverable is. That may be different from what your, you know, eMoney or one of your other financial planning programs look like. And I understand that advisors are trying to stitch that stuff together. That's the next frontier, I guess, is how we get them all to come together in something that's really beautiful and elegant for clients.
The time is here. Our Overcoming Resistance course is now live. I would give anything to go back in time and have this information earlier in my career. I would have wanted to reject average and recognize the most important decisions I should make as a business owner. Visit gobeelite.com to access the course now. I wish I would have had this sooner, and now I'm giving it to you. Yeah, I appreciate your mission of you being like a growth catalyst to advisors by saying, hey, I want to make your job easier so you can help more people. Because I do think there's this point where back in the day, it was like, you probably only serve 100 people. Anything beyond that, like there's some number to where you're forgetting about people, you're pushing them off to somebody else. But in efficient practice, like what's that profitability line that you can actually hit? It used to be 100, but now it's 200 because of technology and systems. Yep. Because I remember, I think back to when I started doing financial planning as a standalone offering. And it was like, hey, we manage money well, we're good at that. And hey, we can help with insurance if you need it. That's kind of my background, is both of those. But to have a profitable standalone vertical where if you never buy anything from me, this is still a good relationship. Like I'm happy with you, you're happy with me. But I remember the times of kind of the friction of like, this is kind of challenging. And like it takes too long to type this thing up. Like I almost hit this point where I was like, either I have to really lean into this and just get much better at it, or I need to abandon it and just go back to managing money and calling people once or twice a year.
Yep.
I'm curious, in the evolution of Holistiplan, like how did you deal with that friction? Was it like the iteration until it was like, oh, I got out the other side?
Well, I mean, software is so different, right? Because with software, you build it once and it's infinitely shippable out to everyone, right? So we have it a little bit easier than you do on the financial advice side, right? So, I mean, I can write code and then everyone gets it. That's the magic of what I get to do. That's why I just love what I do, because to me, it's a miracle that I can write, you know, 10 lines of code and then thousands of people can get that the same week. You know what I mean? So that's kind of the miracle of what we do. But I mean, the problem you're talking about, we have to figure that out, right? Because if we as a profession are going to commit to delivering financial planning services to clients and at a level that we understand to be a high quality level, we have to break past this kind of cap of 100 clients per advisor. Like you said, 200 clients per advisor. How do we get to 300 clients an advisor? It's going to take some pretty radical breakthroughs. And I don't think we're there entirely yet. I mean, I think all of us are working towards it. You're working toward it in your organization, talking about process. How do we scale some of these educational messages out to our clients? Like that's something that all of us are pushing on. But unless we can get to 200, 300 clients an advisor, we're just not going to be able. First of all, how are we going to hire all these people to deliver this advice?
Good point.
Second of all, how do you do it in a scalable way so you're making the profits you need to do in order to have a sustainable business? I wish I had better answers. I'm doing my part. Because like I said, you know, my goal was, I think when I quit my job, I had like 80 clients. And I was like, I'm going to serve these 80 clients for the rest of my career. Maybe some will come and go. So maybe over the next 20 years of my career, I'll serve 100 families. And let's be honest, like that is noble work. Like those are 100 families who got really good, you know, great financial planning who didn't before. There's nothing wrong with that. But I was like, I want to serve 1,000. And that's not practical for an advisor, but somehow we can get them to 200 to 300. That's the challenge I think all of us ought to be inspired by working towards. I appreciate the work you do in that area. That's something we fight for. Like you said, our mission is help financial advisors deliver richer financial planning to more clients. That means more clients in the door or more clients per advisor. That's how we're going to eventually get people financial planning. It's a force for good. People deserve to have it.
Yeah. And you guys, there's obviously there was version one of Holistic Plan, but as you guys layer more values on, give us kind of a status update on I know the insurance module, estate plan coming. What's kind of behind the scenes look?
Yeah. So like I said, I mean, what we've done is just listen to our customers. Okay. So like that's, you know, and so we originally started Holistic Plan in the very early days. Actually, Kevin, my co-founder, like the idea that kind of like got the whole thing germinating in our minds was he said, you know, financial planning is so inefficient. There's so many things I have to do. And he wrote, when I'm looking at someone's auto insurance, I ought to just be able to pull the Kelley Blue Book value in and see the value of their car in that moment. And I was like, that's a really interesting idea. The idea of bringing all the information to the advisor instead of the advisor going out to find it. Now, I will admit, we still haven't built that. We still have not built the thing to bring in the Kelley Blue Book value. But I will say, like, when we first were building Holistic Plan, we had tax, insurance, and estate all next to each other. And it just so happens that like, we just struck a vein with tax. And we're like, okay, we're going to go all in on tax, all in on tax. But our own customers have asked us to go deeper with insurance and estate. So insurance is out there in the world. It's getting picked up pretty quickly. And by insurance, I'm talking about home, auto, umbrella insurance, which you get one of those wrong. Anyone who's been around long enough, if you've got 100 clients and you've been around for 5, 7, 10 years, you have a client who has a big claim. And fortunately or unfortunately, we have seen how that sort of thing could impact the best laid financial plan. And so part of our job, that's why it's in the CFP curriculum, part of our job as planners is to review home, auto, umbrella insurance. Yeah. And it's not hard to do. I think we get resistance from advisors who are like, man, I don't do that right now. And that's new for me, which by the way, is exactly what they said about tax six years ago. Sure. And now they're all doing tax. But reviewing those home, auto, umbrella, that's not hard to do. And here's the difference between tax and at least property casualty insurance. Most advisors are not licensed to sell property casualty insurance. Yep. And so really our job as advisors is just to review it, raise a couple things, and then let the client take it to their agent to take care of it. This is in contrast to tax planning. Tax planning, if I say, hey, you need to get a donor advised fund going, well, I can do the work for you. That's kind of the double-edged sword of tax. We can both come up with the recommendations and the delivery. Let's set up the account for the donor advised fund and fund it, right? And so I think people, they go into the mindset of property casualty insurance thinking, oh man, it's going to be just as much work as tax planning. I don't want to add another huge service on like that. It's not like that. We do a review. We do it once every 3 years. And then you're going to find a couple things like, hey, you don't have umbrella insurance. Hey, your home, did you know that there's a difference between replacement cost and home value? Did you know those are different things? Like those sorts of things. Hey, you have a classic car, you know, there's specific, you're on a nonprofit board. These are all things that high net worth clients encounter that we as advisors can point out to them, let the agent take over it. So yeah, the property casualty module is something that our own customers asked for us to build. It was always part of the roadmap. It was the first thing we built before tax. And so, I'm really excited about how do we take these processes that didn't used to be very scalable, how do we make them scalable so that advisors can deliver those services to all their clients and then raise the bar in general for the type of value they're providing those clients? And like you talked about, that changes the whole equation of our value proposition for clients and the nature of our business with them.
Yeah, I think the one thing we try to help advisors find is like coachable moments. Like you need to find something that you can teach or coach or bring their awareness to build trust and rapport.
Yeah,
I think most advisors are still in the world of, you know, hi, my name is Stan, I'm a financial advisor. You've never met me before, but hey, transfer all your money to me and let's hope this thing works out.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we leave this big trust gap as opposed to like, man, you run their home, auto, and umbrella through the tool. You run their last two tax returns through the tool. Like, immediately you're going to have these things that are not your full value, but at least you can lead with value from meeting one to meeting two, you can come back and say, hey, a few things jumped out to me. And whether you use a whiteboard or, you know, however you want to communicate it, that before someone ever becomes a client, you have them believe and experience you as an advisor and a coach.
Right.
That's the goal. And what's cool about your tools is like, hey, it's going to take the guesswork out of it. And you can find a few coachable moments instantly, whether it is, hey, I want to teach you about replacement versus real cost.
Yep.
I've never heard of that before. Well, I'm your advisor now and you haven't even paid me. You're taking my advice.
Right. Yeah. We're trying to queue up meaningful conversations. Actually, I'll tell you something. I know this is a podcast, so I'll show you.
We'll show the video too. Yeah.
We're going to visit. So I keep on my desk this right here. I'm holding it up. It's when I take my car into the dealer. The dealer does a 40-point inspection of my car. I know nothing about cars, by the way. The way my clients knew very little about financial planning, I know nothing about cars. I know nothing about them. But they do this inspection for me. And they have, you know, these are the things in green. My engine oil is green. My brake fluid is green. But my engine air filter is yellow. Now I know what they're trying to sell me, another engine air filter. But the fact that they're, even if they didn't find anything, they're demonstrating to me that they're looking.
Yeah,
and even that has value. So even if we don't even get to the level of the like you said, the coachable moment, and you will, if you look, you will find them. But if you demonstrate to the client, man, I looked, I'm in your corner. And by the way, you know, what insurance and tax have in common is you got to pay for it every year.
Yeah.
Deep down, we're like, I don't really know if I'm paying too much or not enough. Am I doing the right amount? Like, those are the questions that are in all of our heads. And so if we as the advisors can kind of demystify these things for the client, or even if we don't go to the level of demystifying, if we're just saying, hey, I'm looking at this for you, I'm in your corner, and here's mm-hmm. me demonstrating that I've looked,
yeah,
that goes a long way. It goes a long way. And it's one of these evergreen things where every year your client gets a renewal on their insurance. And every year the client is like, man, it went up by 10%. Is that good or bad? I don't know.
Yep.
Every year, that's another opportunity for us, the advisor, to have a meaningful conversation. Even if that conversation is just, no, it looks good. I looked at it. Your coverage is right where you need it to be. I feel confident that we're good.
Yeah. I'm not mad.
Conversation.
Yeah. I'm not mad when I go to the doctor and they say, hey, everything checks out.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thank you. That's great. It makes me feel better.
Yep.
Well, I love that. So what would be then the estate planning that's coming?
Yep. Same idea where, I mean, we have a product coming there where it's the same deal. We'll upload your estate documents. We'll give you a summary. We'll highlight some of the things to think about. You know, I remember, for example, you know, one of the things that I don't hear advisors talk a lot about when we talk about estate planning is, yes, there's creating the plan. Absolutely. We need to help clients with that. But what people don't talk about a lot is, if you're working with a client for years on a relationship basis, it's probably you who's going to be there when that estate plan goes into effect.
Sure.
Right. And in fact, sometimes your client is hiring you. I remember clients who would hire us and they'd be like, look, I know my finances, but my spouse doesn't really know. And so you're here for if anything happens to me. We were almost like an insurance policy for them.
Sure.
So our moment to step up and add value was actually in the moment when that person died. And so a lot of times we're dealing with, you know, retitling accounts and who are the executors and do the kids know what's going on? And so part of what we ought to be doing as estate planners, or when we're helping our clients with estate planning, is not just look at the legal setup of the documents, but also talk about just like the logistical ramifications of the choices they make. I'll give an example, and this is something we highlight in our software. Your client, I got two kids. I love both of them. I really do. I love them equally, but it's not a great idea for me to name both of them as joint executors, just from at least that's my opinion from a logistical perspective. Okay.
Sure.
People may have other legal opinions on that, but from a logistical perspective, I've seen as an advisor, getting the kids to both sign everything you do. And one guy lives in Massachusetts and one guy lives in Oregon. And like, you love your kids the same. I get it. Name one of them as the executor. Potentially. It all depends on the circumstances. But our job as an advisor is we can at least raise something like that.
Yeah.
I had a client who named a bank as her executor. And when she died, that was a nightmare.
Yeah.
The bank didn't know who she was. And like, they didn't know it took years for that estate to get settled.
Wow.
And so that's something we as advisors can raise. It's not part of the CFP curriculum. The lawyer may not raise it, but it's something that we can raise. And so it's just another example of what we're trying to surface within our estate planning software.
That's great. So now, living on the side of the business where you're in, you get to experience a lot of advisors for even firm level conversations, I'm sure, compliance, technology, all the things. What is your kind of feedback and advice to us as advisors now with what you're seeing, maybe from a seat that most of us don't get to experience?
I see advice. I mean, this is true across all industries, and it's always been true and probably will always be true. But, and as much as it pains me to say this as a guy who sells software, buying software does not solve your problems, right? Buying a tool does not solve your problems. Like, my garage is full of tools that I bought for one project that I never touched again, and I don't really know how to use them that well.
Yeah.
Right. And so we have a lot of customers who are using HolistiPlan, and they may use it for 10% of their clients. And if that's consistent with their business model, I totally get that. But I think in a lot of cases, they're only using it for 10% of their clients because they bought software, but they didn't go through the organizational changes, the process changes needed to fully adopt that software and get maximum value out of it.
Yeah.
Right? In order for us to really leverage these tools, we have to look at these tools and say, what needs to surround those tools to make sure I'm using them properly? So, you know, one example, our biggest feature that made us famous was, you know, you can upload a tax return and then we give you a report, right? So that step is super efficient. Upload the tax return, get rid of the report. Now, outside of HolistiPlan is a lot of stuff. I got to ask my client for a tax return. How do you ask? You know, let's say we go to that world where I have 300 clients as an advisor.
Yeah.
How do you ask 300 clients for a tax return in a way that's efficient and make sure you can keep track of who's giving you one or not? Right?
Yeah.
So, like, firms have to build that infrastructure. You do the analysis, we upload the thing. Now I need to communicate it back out to my client. I found XYZ things. Okay, how do you communicate that back out to 300 people when you have slightly different answers coming out of the software in each case? Now, that's an extreme example. Hopefully we don't have 300 clients unless you've really nailed this scalability question. But even if you have 100 clients, how do you do that? And so, you know, we as a company are trying to build the tools to help facilitate some of those infrastructure pieces. But in the meantime, advisors need to build the processes, the business processes that surround the tool. The tool can do great analysis, but we as advisors need to make sure that we orchestrate our business such that all of our clients get the benefit of these new capabilities we've added.
Got it.
Right? If we're truly generating all this new value for clients, and if it's going to be transformational for our business, well, let's go all in on this thing. Let's find, you know, you don't have to do it all in year one, but like, what is your path to which 3 years from now you can say all of my clients every year are getting this service at the level that I believe they should get? That's actually the piece that I see advisors working on, but I see a long way to go for a lot of them.
Yeah, when you were saying that out loud, a few things came to me. I've tried that before by myself and it didn't work. So it was kind of a who, not how issue. Like, it required help of some kind. Not that you have to have a 20-person team, but if you're a solo advisor, again, software could help, but there's probably some systems outside of the software that would be really challenging to build and scale on your own.
Totally.
And then also, like, just kind of sitting in it, you know, because there will take time. I think when I've built something or implemented financial planning or started using HolistiPlan, going in expecting some level of friction of like, of course, this isn't going to be easy right away. But with a system and a process, I think it's coming out the other side. You're like, man, I'm really glad I did that. I just feel like a lot of times when met with resistance, people will take that initially as like, oh, this is just too much, or that I shouldn't do it, as opposed to going in saying, I know resistance is going to happen. I just need to get through it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's building any business. You know, I get that, right? So like when we want to add some new feature to the software, and then I might be talking to one of the developers and he's like, oh man, that's going to be a big lift. And I'm like, yes, we want it to be a big lift because that's the differentiator. That's your moat, right? That's what differentiates you from the financial advisor down the street, is that you took the time to learn this, how to analyze this report, or you took the time to build the infrastructure within your firm such that maybe you don't learn, but there's someone else in your firm who's great at doing that thing, or you've built the process such that that initial review happens at the paraplanner or associate level, and then you get the escalations as the senior advisor. Like, that's the fun of building a business.
That's right.
Is actually taking the things that are hard and then turning that into an advantage over everybody else.
Yeah.
So I love stuff that's hard like that. I love going deep into things like that because that's how we win in the long run.
Yeah. I think for all the advisors, really practically as they listen, I mean, my hope in the drum we're banging is like you are worth something even if you don't sell something. Learning to communicate your value and have some process of delivering advice and getting paid for it. My hope is that that's part of the advisor of the future, that's part of your practice. You still may love managing money and selling insurance. I'm all for it. But if my hope is years from now, no advisor is meeting with somebody, and as soon as they get a feeling that they don't have money to invest today or insurance to buy, they're not mentally backing out of that meeting as quick as possible. Because I lived that world and I didn't like that feeling. I was like, well, my family growing up wouldn't have been a good prospect for anybody, but we still needed advice and guidance. So yeah. I hope every advisor adopts the mindset of like, financial planning is a value in and of itself, but then we can also be great entrepreneurs and have efficient practices that we enjoy working in, as opposed to creating, you know, really bad jobs for ourselves. And as I'm out there speaking with thousands of advisors, I'm seeing that's probably true of all businesses, but it's like efficiencies. So we enjoy our jobs. We can help more people with less lift, but also that we can step into, I think we're like a new season of our industry, which is, it's less about being great at selling products and it's more about being a great coach, communicator, and encourager. Because the tools like yours, like that's making part of our job so much easier that maybe that is no longer the differentiator, is this idea we have or this knowledge or this designation, but it's more about our ability to like communicate and inspire people to actually like take action.
Absolutely.
Then all of a sudden, advisors have to be great communicators, which, you know, when I started the business, no one told me that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, ultimately, you know, most people who are financial advisors, they made a choice at some point in time that said, I want to be in a job that helps people. Hmm. And sometimes it's, you know, sometimes you can get away from that because, you know, it's like anything, you know, anything, life gets in the way. But like, ultimately, most or all financial advisors that I've met, at least, that's the core of why they got into the business.
Yeah.
And so now we have new ways to help people and new ways to get back to that, you know, original kind of thing that inspired us to get into the business. And we can do it for more people. That's what's beautiful about it. So yeah, I agree. I mean, like, there's so many people win when we layer in better financial planning into our practices. So I'm excited to be in this time in the profession, because I think it's going to get really, really interesting. And I'll tell you what, if we want to use fear as a motivator, if you're not if you're not believing that financial planning is the future, well, guess what? That guy down the street who just hung out a shingle, they've embraced it. And so, you know, if it's not something that, you know, someone listening already, we're preaching to the choir a little bit, but you know, in case we got to someone who's not, that you're going to need to do it to survive anyway. But I think we're here because we're not just here to survive. We're here to deliver great value to clients and help people.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you staying in the arena and building a software company and figuring it out, because that's somebody's got to do it.
Well, thank you. You know, I love it. Like I said, it's the best job I've ever had. And it, you know, I get up every day inspired by our customers. Like, being a financial advisor wasn't the right thing for me, but I know that financial planning in particular, it really is a force for good in this world. And like, there's no ambiguity around that. You know, there's certain things that we do. I make this product, but it pollutes the air in some way or whatever. You know, there's a lot of different jobs out there. But I think it's difficult to argue that there's any downside to people making better decisions with their money. And so I just love being involved still in the financial planning profession, just in a different way than I was before.
Yeah, well said. Roger, man, it was fun hanging out. I appreciate you.
It's a pleasure. Thank you.